Dr. Lonnie Smith, not to be confused with the venerable keyboardist Lonnie Smith. That's a different person. Dr. Lonnie Smith on his trusty Hammond with "He's a Mighty Good Leader." Yes, indeed, and gives us a hint of where we are going today. Doug Monroe on guitar and Lafray Sy on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Friday, December the 27th. And a federal judge in New York ruled earlier today that the National Security Agency's massive data collection program is legal. This comes 1 week after another federal judge ruled exactly the opposite, a strong indication that the issue will soon be headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Today's ruling stemmed from a case brought by the American Civil Liberties Union against NSA Director James Clapper, challenging the agency's collection of phone records. U.S. District Judge William H. Pauley III ruled that the government could collect the data in the interest of national security. And last week, however, U.S. District Judge Richard Leon in Washington, D.C., ruled that the NSA's phone records collection program likely violates the Constitution. So, two differences of opinion, both at the federal level, means the Supreme Court has to be the arbitrator. Well, the Reverend Al Sharpton held a town meeting in Chicago's Hyde Park on December the 19th to address the gun violence in the city. I'm going to read now from his PR firm said that the purpose of this meeting was to call for a unified commitment to end gun violence, and included a whole bunch of folks, very official sounding folks from the National Action Network and from the Urban League and from academia and from local churches and so forth. The usual people who come together where the problem is not to talk about what the problem is. But the discussion went way off the set agenda when the community turned up the heat. And they certainly did that. They turned up the heat, and before long, this meeting called to discuss gun violence in Chicago was about political lackeys and turncoat figureheads, about a useless Democratic Party, a hateful Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and an indifferent President Obama, indifferent to the suffering of the people in Chicago. So, I want to give you a taste of what it sounded like. Some of it may sound a little murky owing to the, you know, the equipment available, but you will hear enough to give you an idea of what went on at that meeting. So we will hear that first, and right after that, we will hear from a rather colorful man who calls himself Tiamat, T-M-O-T, meaning the Minister of Truth, who also happens to be a candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2014. He's Republican, African-American. He calls himself a rank-and-file Republican. His name is Derek Grayson. So we will hear first how the community expressed itself, and then we'll get a summary of events from Tiamat. Here we go.
James Gunn, drug problem. We have a nepotism, cronyism, and patronage problem.
It's time that we start voting differently.
And every single alderman was a part of this criminal process.
I would call it a serious town meeting.
The
town meetings that those Republicans have called, they call it the Tea Party.
You need to start voting them out.
But I challenge the community, instead of Pharaoh letting us go, black folks, let Pharaoh go.
We've been trained to vote in a specific manner. Here to say to you that we need to start looking at the manner in which our elected officials have been voting, and say to you, start pulling their voting records. If they have not voted in the manner that is beneficial to you, yours, and your community, then you need to start voting them out.
That's right.
Our aldermen, specifically those aldermen that we voted into office to represent us, have not represented us. It is time that we start voting differently, and I say to you in March that we start voting for those that are going to represent us. Thank you.
There's a lot of people in here who have different agendas and different attitudes, but we did all come together on a peaceful and on a one accord. This was a signal sent to City Hall, to the fifth floor, who sent no one down here to make sure that the city that he resides over, that he could step in and say that he's doing something. First of all, I like to say one major thing. Stop blaming just anybody for the violence in the city of Chicago. Blame the right people. Not just white people, blame the right people. Because it ain't just white folks a part of this. But it is on the fifth floor. It is on the fifth floor. The fifth floor took your schools. The fifth floor just took all your jobs that he said that he gave to the ex-offender. It's the policies of the administration. And every single alderman was a part of this criminal process that messed over our people. And you was right, brother. You was right. They should let Pharaoh go. But some of these Negroes that said they are ministers need to let them go too. They need to let them go. Our people are suffering and being devastated. We have boarded up houses in every community in our community. It's almost like the curse of Pharaoh. Every other house is boarded up in our neighborhood. Why can't we build it up? So my question is just here. Mr. President, because he watches your program. Mr. President, the man that you have sent down here as the mayor hate us. Ain't no other way of getting around it. We're asking the President of the United States. We're asking the President of the United States. Let us, the grassroots people, not these name-brand blue ribbon Negroes, us, the grassroots people, let us take our bills. Stop giving them people, them evil people our money. Yes. Don't give them our money.
Greetings, folks. Tiamat back again for another drive time. I'm feeling pretty good today. I saw something. It was originally shared with me in the AM, and 9 hours later, somebody sent it to me in an email, and I checked it out, and I was completely blown away. But it had been shared with me earlier. It actually occurred on the 19th of December. Al Sharpton had himself a good old town hall, expecting one thing, expecting the conversation to be part of the old Democratic, liberal Democratic party line nonsense, more gun control and dealing with the violence. But they brought something to Al Sharpton that he did not expect. He was completely shocked. In fact, he was thunderstruck. That might be my theme song from now on going into 2014. Let us all leave them thunderstruck. I've not seen anything like this since the days of folk rallying around Ron Paul in the days of the Tea Party, all because they've come to realize that the Tea Party had lost its way. And you can hear one gentleman in this video. I've been posting it all over my page on Facebook all morning. I even put it up on YouTube. Say, maybe we need to get us one of those here tea parties. Yeah, we need to all have ourselves a tea party moment where we tell these folk. And look, you would have thought that I had been preaching to these people like I have those over here on the Republican side all year long. I heard things like, we need to start electing people who will actually represent us. And, well, we need to move away from let my people go and let Pharaoh go. And, yeah, you sent the president, that is, you sent this guy down here to be our mayor. He don't really like us. And who all voted for him? Well, the reports say that statistically he carried most of the black vote. Well, I got one question for y'all. How crazy are we? So keep doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same result. That's insanity. They said it all in this video. I am pleased and encouraged. Why? Because I personally had nothing to do with that. That means that other people are just as fed up as I am. And this had nothing to do with color. These were black folk, however, that were telling their leadership, you have been a part of this problem and it's criminal. Yes, they used those words. They told them, you have been doing what they have sent you to do and it's criminal. You have got to see the video for yourself. I am encouraged. I am happy. And I want to see more of those politicians become thunderstruck. Somebody sent me an email saying, T-Mod, I hate so badly that I can't vote for you. But I heard that Ron Paul endorsed that other guy. But I just want you to know, man, that I'm still going to vote for you. I appreciate that. It's the encouragement like that that keeps me going. And it makes me feel that even though sometimes I feel like I'm pushing this water uphill without a bucket, I got some folk that has got my back, and that's encouraging. So I got up today and put on my fedora and my jacket, okay? And I'm going to go somewhere and have myself a beer. How about that? T-Mod out. Drive time till next time. And I got something for you, Al. Next time somebody asks you, just tell them you've been thunderstruck, okay? And if they don't believe you, tell them I said it. Team out, y'all. Drive time till next time.
Now, that's a community report. But given, by the way, by Derek Grayson, Grayson. He's called T-Mod. T-M-O-T, standing for the Minister of Truth. And he apparently records these thoughts of his as he drives. Let's not discuss driving while distracted. We're not going to discuss that. But he records his thoughts as he drives. And this was one of the things that he most recently recorded, this meeting that occurred in Chicago. Well, you know, there is an incredible instruction in what we just heard. And what we heard was people reaching a point where they cannot stand, they cannot tolerate one bit longer this contempt that is heaped upon them. Well, first of all, we have this meeting called on the 19th in Chicago to deal with gun violence, okay? And Al Sharpton basically is nominated for the job somehow. Either he felt the need to do it himself, which I doubt, or he was encouraged to do that because the reaction and the response of the president on this point alone shows the dichotomy in terms of how the administration and the president in particular and black leadership basically respond to their communities. The president on that very day, on the 19th, on the 14th, the president marked the anniversary of the mass murder in Sandy Hook by lighting candles representing each of the people and children, the adults and children killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School, and was quite contrite and again reminded the nation that this was an issue. And you know my thoughts on this. I've talked about it constantly, that this particular event, in fact, illustrates the point about the dichotomy, racial dichotomy, I might add, in responding to a problem that is experienced all around the nation. Here's a situation in Sandy Hook where one person killed all these people, killed 20 children and 6 adults at the school, 26 people. We can't ever deny the issue of gun violence in African-American and Latino communities. This has been an ongoing problem. But it is not in and of itself an isolated problem. It is a problem that is part of the socio-political and economic landscape in the community, because to tackle the problem, you will have to address a number of associated issues, all of which are pressing. And this information, of course, came from a federal agency itself that had reported on it and said that the issue of gun violence in African-American and Latino communities, but particularly in the African-American community, has reached epidemic proportions. This is not news. This has been the case for decades. Why? Because unemployment being so pervasive in these communities leads to people making a living on a parallel track. Drugs, and wherever you have drugs, you have guns. They go together. But in any event, the president has not responded the same way to this particular problem, which is far more pervasive and far more urgent in these communities than in communities like Newtown, Connecticut. So perhaps anticipating that there was going to be a marked difference, the president does his thing on the 14th of December, and Al Sharpton comes in the next couple of days later, 5 days later, in Chicago, to a community group saying that there should be some unified statement that this community ought to make about gun violence, which in a way is so pathetic. One, it suggests that the community didn't have a position on this before Al Sharpton decided to show up. And number two, it's pathetic because everybody knows you could make any number of verbal commitments or whatever it is that they have. You cannot fight that problem by making statements about it. People have been doing this for decades, understand? This is decades. So they're looking for something different, such as a real commitment from the apparatus of government to the real problem. Remember when this whole thing started out in Newtown, Connecticut? The president immediately jumped on this as a problem because now white children were being killed by a white young man with a white mother in a white town. So Joe Biden was dispatched to come up with an answer and a whole range of responses within 30 days. And he surely did. He came up with a whole bunch of things that need to be done. Look how long this community, by the way, in Chicago, which is Barack Obama's home turf, they're still waiting for answers and getting where the white community gets substantive responses to a problem. The black community gets symbolism. Just send a bunch of black preachers in there. But it was significant that people are making these connections themselves. They are living in communities that have only one use to the apparatus of government and to the political system in general. Show up when ordered to, cast your vote the way we want you to, and then get lost. Just disappear. You're not needed after that. So it's significant that it is now brewing in Chicago at this level. It had begun in Detroit, and we saw what the plans are, how people are moving systematically to destroy a city. The lies that are perpetrated and perpetuated in order to make the case to take the city, a whole city. And you make people suffer in the meantime. And you make them believe that they're responsible because they are diehard Democratic loyalists. They've given their faith, they've pledged their troth to the Democratic Party for decade after decade after decade. And guess what? Look where they end up, in Chicago and in Detroit. And New York City is next, and Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C. So people are connecting the dots. It's kind of slow, but it's okay. Because what you heard was not orchestrated. It was not organized as that kind. It was not part of the agenda. They knew they had to express this directly to the people they see as turncoats, people who are lackeys of a Democratic Party, who willingly take on the job to retard progress, to just absolutely short-circuit any semblance of community power, to give the Democratic Party what it wants. And what it wants is just, again, show up, vote, get lost. That's what it wants. This administration, this is happening in Barack Obama's backyard. You heard the people talk about what's going on in their schools when they refer to the fifth floor. As the man said, the fifth floor. He said, don't go around hating everybody. But you should hate what's going on the fifth floor. Referring to Rahm Emanuel's office. Rahm Emanuel being Barack Obama's former chief of staff, who booked it early out of his administration in order to set up a political career that he intends eventually to end up with the big prize, the White House. And next week, when I talk about this president, I will talk about the president, the primary purpose of his first term and going into the second is to fulfill the contract for all these people with separate political ambitions, to give them the launching pad to continue with their entrepreneurial endeavors. It's happening with Hillary Clinton, a woman whose her only qualifications for the job was that she was married to a sexual predator in the White House. That's her only qualification. And with that, She became U.S. Senator. She just walked out of the White House and became a U.S. Senator. Boom, there you go. It was given to her. It was orchestrated so she can have it as a reward for her loyalty in times of trouble. And then the first thing that this president does is elevate her even more to the point where, as she was making her exit tour, she referred to him sitting there like a prop. That's her buddy, she says. That's your buddy. This woman is ambitious beyond belief. But that's what happens. A whole bunch of stories just like that. People having no qualifications for the job, but they had a way of calling in their cards with this president, who has a huge psychological problem connecting to the fact that he would have had no political life whatsoever had it not been for some black people who took him in, showed him the ropes, taught them what he needed to know, and then worked like a bunch of termites and fire ants to just get this payload off the ground and into orbit. Now he doesn't even discuss. He doesn't even come to the community. He doesn't want to see you. He has no use for the black community. And don't forget, as the titular head of the Democratic Party, he is emulating the mindset of the party. The mindset of the party is exactly that. All these people who today have these lofty positions of seniority, Rangel has 22 terms in office. Chuck Schumer, all these people who grab their lapels practically and rock on their heels as they talk. Their political careers were made by people they no longer talk to or never actually did talk to. And they can't show how, on a consistent basis, they serve the needs of the people who are hurting the most. That's amazing. And yet, it is true. The people flock to the polls as ordered, just like lemmings. Show up on, voting day and pull your lever and say, Democrat, once more, I am a Democrat. I tell you, if you do that again this year, in these midterm elections coming up, you deserve not only what you're going to get, you deserve more than what you actually are going to get for being that crazy. If you, by your vote, enable this party to have another life, you deserve it. People are suffering. This very day, the president put his signature to a bill that says, if you've been unemployed longer than you thought you would, forget that. You will get no further assistance from your unemployment benefits. They're done. People are hurting badly. This president just doesn't say it. He's like Mr. Magoo, just walking, causing accidents all over the place, ignoring others all over the place, and he's just president. He just doesn't see these things. But to another constituency, he is present and accounted for. In fact, he heads off the problem even before they bring it up. Nobody had to bring up a problem to President Obama over the awesome tragedy that the Newtown, Connecticut massacre was. He knew instinctively to respond. And not just responding by a news conference, he got his butt in Connecticut immediately. So, what does this mean? It means that in 2014, the spirit of the people of Detroit and Chicago has to multiply exponentially You really have to re-examine what it is you're doing by enabling and abetting a criminal enterprise, because that's what it is. The usurpation of people's votes and trust. The total dismissal of their hopes. And open contempt for even the basic things that their vote is supposed to guarantee. They don't even get listened to. And they are all in it, as the man said. They are all part of it. Not one Democrat so far from these communities, these hurting communities, has stepped away from the pack and said, you know what? I am not with this program. I was not elected to go along with this program. I am here as the spokesperson for people who have endured enough, more than enough, and gotten absolutely no response. But they're more loyal to the party than to their people. They're more terrified of losing some kind of a position on a committee than they are of the wrath of people who are justified in making noise over the fact that they have their schools are being shut down by this president. Police misconduct is rampant in our community. They are part of the criminal problem. You have access to health care, yes. But most of the hospitals serving our communities are what? They're learning centers for the teaching hospitals, the universities. Come, you can experiment on anybody you want. This is where you can, you know, cut your teeth. And then when you finish your residency, you could go on and be a specialist and charge $500 a minute for your services. You could come in here and do what you need. These are people. They're not real people. They're an opportunity for you to sharpen your skills. And people are not supposed to get upset about that. The asthma rate in Harlem, one of the highest in the country. And yet we have a man saying he's going for broke now. He's going for the 23rd term in office to represent Harlem. And you look at Harlem and you say, what the heck happened here? Here in Harlem, the crucible of black political power, the epicenter of political power. One man made it so. And all these other clowns together, added all together, can't even shine his shoes to this day. And he's long since gone. And I'm referring to Adam Clayton Powell. All of them combined. And Adam Clayton Powell was not the congressman of Harlem alone. He didn't respect geographic boundaries. He went even to the Bandung conference when nobody else would. And he saw suffering across the board to this day. Minimum wage. Safety on the job. A whole bunch of legislation. He has been, for the records, the most prolific legislator practically of all time in Congress. And this man was serving in Congress at a time when he was not allowed to eat in the dining room. You have these people running around parading their titles. And we know the first thing on their list is loyalty to party, and they do not even control that. They are told what their loyalty will be. They are told what to be loyal to. And not one of them moves away from the dictates of the party. And we have a president. The man is the head of the party, and he still is following orders. He is not making rules for the Democratic Party. This is a wash. You cannot look to Barack Obama as some kind of a major policymaker within the party, that he's been running around just fundraiser after fundraiser, raising millions for this party, doing all of the heavy lifting. Even as president, he still falls into the stereotypical role. Yes, I was going to do the work now. I tote that barge and lift that veil. Yes, indeedy. I make it possible for other people to come in so that they can continue the status quo. This year, 2014, people should get really serious. If you're a Republican, get the heck out. If you're a Democrat, get the heck out. Because neither party is responding to you. And there is enough proof, there's enough of a historical record to suggest they are not likely to change their behavior. So grow new leadership and take on a fight. I don't care what fight. Take one person who is more offensive than the other and make it absolutely sure that they do not succeed while you encourage new leadership. Organically grow your own leadership and fire anybody who doesn't understand that that's their job to represent you. And it is a time like this, I've been saying this over and over again, but it's not making sense to anybody. These so-called third parties that are out there saying that they are offering an alternative way and an alternative path, they're terrified. They're terrified, it seems, to come into the community and talk to people. Maybe it's because they have nothing to offer based on the people's needs. Their thing is, this is what we stand for. You must support us. I mean, where is that a logical way to operate? Is it not the other way around? We are a party. We want to help you. So we're coming to you to ask you, how can we help you? Find out what people want. But they take this position. They're terrified. You know, like the GPS that avoids telling you how to get into the ghetto. There's a program, believe it or not. They tell you where all the racist information you don't really need to know. They tell you where the dangerous part of town is, so that you don't go there. And some don't even tell you that. They just don't recognize these neighborhoods. But get a GPS that works, not the one that Obama has where he can't find a black community anywhere in the country. That's a good Christmas gift for Obama and his administration. Get them all GPSs so that they could actually find the community. But this is a charge. This is a major task to undertake. To get rid of your programming in your head, because you're losing more than you know. And not just you, your neighbors, your children. They're losing huge, big time. People who are already suffering are being made to suffer even more. And then the country goes abroad and boasts about its, you know, about the stand it takes in the name of some moral conviction or the other. And that's on moral grounds we oppose this and on moral grounds we oppose that. And who the heck cares? Everybody knows that you talk out of both sides of your mouth. Everybody in the world understands that now. But here at home is the ugly story.
here at home is the ugly story. This is a fight. People don't think so, but it is a huge fight. When you multiply, for example, how do you quantify generational denial, generational lack of opportunity, generational poverty, intended, intentional things being done to make sure that that's the result. Everything put forward in the name of progress, in the name of what is right and fair, in the name of just plain humanitarian considerations. There is zero tolerance for that. Zero tolerance. If Detroit didn't tell you, give you a lesson, and it's still ongoing, and the guy doing it is a black guy, okay? This is a black guy. Systematically fracturing and breaking up a city, a whole city, and opening the doors wide open for anybody to come in and finish off the job of annihilating poor people, black people, Latinos, poor working whites, unemployed people, employed people, it doesn't matter. They all are seriously hurting in Detroit. But Detroit was supposed to be something really important. It's supposed to be a place, there's supposed to be a strong orientation about protecting the city. Since its history has been one of struggle. You send some guy from a law firm, complete conflict of interest going on there. You force the declaration of bankruptcy. Even the judge has reversed his own decision and said, well, yes, they can contest my order, my finding that the city should declare bankruptcy. The minds of people are so warped. This was something people knew a long time ago. Of course, it's illegal. But who is speaking for Detroit? I made several calls to John Conyers' office, the senior representative of Detroit and one of the senior members of the U.S. Congress. I haven't heard a thing yet. I doubt I'll ever get an answer. His city is being carved up. The guts of the city are being sliced through. People are being eviscerated. They're losing their homes. They're losing their pensions. They're losing everything that they scraped together and put down some roots in the city. And you can't find any credible legislative resistance to that in the city of Detroit. And you want to tell me that you like a party that does that? And a party that would do that in Detroit but won't do it in New York? And won't do it in Philadelphia? And won't do it in Washington, D.C.? And how do they do it? They get these ceremonial leaders happy, happy, happy to have some kind of an honorific in front of their name. I'm city council member so-and-so. I'm representative so-and-so-and-so. I'm state senator so-and-so. I'm assembly person so-and-so. They're thrilled about that. Because in some way, some warped way, they believe that that's in and of itself an end. That's all that they need. And the heck with everybody else. We don't have leadership that is credible. And that's what that meeting in Chicago says. No, it's not pretty when people tell you exactly what's going on. But it's the truth. It is the undiluted, unedited truth. You do have these figureheads, these toadies, these turncoats, these co-conspirators who have set themselves up with one task and one task only, to place themselves between the righteous wrath of the people and the offending party. And their job in doing this, their primary job, is to defend the party. So Al Sharpton had imagined that after this meeting in Chicago, he was going to discuss yet another notch on this belt, that he has done good community work. Yes, and he passed to this, and Reverend that, and Assembly Member the other, and the President of the NAACP, and the one from the Urban League, and all these people, they do agree that there ought to be a halt to gun violence. Isn't that insightful? All these people, it takes all of them to agree to the painfully obvious. They don't even have the guts to say, we understand how this problem came to be. Oh, no. They're there to preach to people who are not committing the violence, because they don't have the credibility to talk to those people. They already understand that, you know, they're in charge. So this coming year, let us be real clear about what the stakes are. The thing is in motion already. The decimation, the absolute direct hits to the communities that are suffering the most. They are in line to get even more suffering coming their way. And they ought to get really serious about this, and people need to support it, because a party that does this to people anywhere is a party you can't trust. This is the year to part ways and show them that if they have contempt for you, you do not have contempt for yourself or for your neighbors or for your community, for your children and their futures. If this president doesn't get it, and he clearly 5/8 of the way hasn't gotten it, do not expect that the other 3/8 of his term will in any way be of benefit to you. He is busy figuring out how he too can go the Clinton route and be a multimillionaire after you leave office. That's their number one priority now. How do I make mad money after I leave the White House? So that is where this little meeting in Chicago, that is why it is so significant. And that is why I hope and pray for a whole bunch of meetings just like this in every community. Take on the system and call it as you see it, but act accordingly. If you're so mad, show it. Walk away from the party and punish, severely punish this party. It deserves it. Find another party and call these third parties and say, hey, why are you so invisible at a time like this? This should be your shining moment. This is where you reach out and bring some more people into your fold. But you're acting like you're terrified to talk to people. You're afraid to open up the sluices and bring more people in. It's Friday. This is as far as I could take it for today. We will reconnect with each other. Certainly try and drop me a line. Let me know what you're thinking out there. I'm on Facebook at Lead Stories with Eutrice Lead. And also you can reach me via email at leadstories@gmail.com. I really hope that you have a restful weekend and give some thought to these things. Give some thought to really radically altering your thinking process and the behavior that results from that, your political thinking process and your political behavior. We have to change it. It's imperative. It's actually, your life depends on it now. Literally, our lives depend on it. We are completely hostage to a system that will not work for us. It won't work. So don't hold up. Don't hold out any hope that it will change. It's not going to change. What change is required is the change that you and I make, and all of us make that change together. That's the change that's absolutely necessary. You know, it sounds almost like you're constantly being critical of things, but really, this president has gotten way too much consideration, way too much leeway. The consequences of his inaction and his wrong-headed action are deleterious to our communities, absolutely destructive. I mean, entire cities now are in the crosshairs. And if Detroit doesn't teach you and me a lesson, and if Chicago and New York and Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., all these major cities, Gary just talked about the changes that are occurring in New York City. I told folks that since last year. This is going to happen. So let's sober up together and come back with each other on Monday at 1 o'clock, and we'll continue the conversation. Stay tuned. Keep it right here. Wake Up Call with Richard Martin is next, and I hope to hear from you. Gmail at leadstories@gmail.com and Facebook Lead Stories with Utrecia Lead. Thanks so much. Take care.